You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Alongside Matt Wilhelm, Dave DiNatale here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll get to your calls here, 216-578-0850 on Twitter, at Browns underscore daily. From, let's see, at Hair Hiller. I don't care what round the 53 men on the Browns were drafted. I just want the best players who manifest wins. This team is talented. Hashtag go Browns.
That is absolutely fact, and the first half of his statement is the exact statement that comes out of Ray Farmer's mouth when he talks about building this roster. I want the best 53 football players to make up this roster, and then we hope in turn it manifests the wins on the backside.
That's it. We want the best 53 we can get. All right, to your calls, 216-578-0850. John's in Pittsburgh. John, welcome to the show. It's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Is this Johnny B?
Hey, guys. Here's the problem, man. God, are you incredible. 100% on. The media is not only awful, enough's enough. Seeing two sides of professional media, there's only one outlet that is you. And it's not just the other Jerry Springer there. What did I say about Manziel? There's no injury. He never had a camp like Camp Patton. And the fact that they're talking about Phil Taylor, what about Tim Koch? What about Brady Quinn? I've said it all along. Patton is the best coach, and he's the next Bill Cowher. I have never seen a typical version of Cowher, but without the Roddy Piper, you know, the jaw in your face. He's a genius, and the best thing is Ray Farmer. I've seen Tom Donahoe be cheap with Dan Rooney, and Bill Cowher could have won 5 Super Bowls. Don't forget the first season when Bubby Brister took the team. Neil O'Donnell was hurt the last month, and then they had a first-round bye. Jim Kelly was injured, but what did they do? They started O'Donnell. So I am so fortunate and proud to be a season ticket holder and a fan of this team, this owner, and his general manager, and especially you, Matt. It's nice to have you guys as the only source, but go Browns, and you have a great day.
Go Browns, right, and you have a great day, too. And you know what? You have to respect the individuals that cover the Cleveland Browns you know, in the media here in Northeast Ohio simply because of the amount of patience that they have to have and the amount of stories that they've written, good, bad, and indifferent. And at some point, it's human nature to just sway towards the negative, and in some cases, you know, stir the pot slightly because it's what sells. But to make a point about Coach Patton and why I feel I'm not necessarily stating he's the next Bill Cowher, but if he goes down that path, it's an absolute great thing. What I would love to transpire here in Cleveland is that the head coach, a lot like, I think, almost like Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, he's not the star. You've got your star players. You know, so many other places that have their head, Bill Belichick, and of course Tom Brady, they're the stars of that team. Once we start to win football games and we acquire star players via free agency, develop those players or draft those players, that Mike, I'm sure Mike Patton has no problem just kind of falling in line and letting all the stories be about his players, good, bad, and indifferent, and not, you know, we as analysts and fans hang on every word of the head football coach. To let him coach football, because that's what these guys do. They're not meant to be.
That's all he wants to do.
They're not PR experts who have every answer. And I think, you know, speaking to Tom Weathers, it's like sometimes to, you know, Mike Patton is sometimes just so brutally honest, feeling as if he has to give a, you know, an answer to every question, and that's unlike a head football coach. So you have to love and like that. But to truly develop as a head coach, to have the time to see his plan through and develop players and acquire players by winning football games is what's going to turn this around here in Cleveland.
John's in Worcester. John, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
I agree with the last caller. Manziel, it's been a train wreck. The other guy was drafted with him. He's a train wreck. There's three guys behind Gilbert who play better than him. Get rid of him. I know he's a first-round pick. Get rid of it. And Manziel, What's next? I'm glad he got his life turned around. I'm an alcoholic. I know what it's like. But what's next? You know, last year he hurt his hamstring, then he chased Cam Newton all over the field with a bad hamstring. Now that he came in and he's worked his way up to mediocrity because he was horrible last year, get rid of him. I mean...
I think, John, here's the thing. It's hard to do that after, in Johnny's case, after six quarters. It just is. And it's hard to do it with Gilbert because when you see the athleticism he has, and especially I've talked about this with ESPN Cleveland's Tony Grossi 1,000 times. When he's got the football in his hands, especially when he's been a returner, there's a light switch, Matt, that goes on.
Electricity.
And you see the athleticism he's got, and you understand what Ray Farmer saw in him when they scouted him and decided to take him.
Sure.
I mean, there's oodles of athletic ability. It just hasn't manifested itself yet at the cornerback spot.
You're absolutely right. And for those
and
out there—
And I did say oodles. Right.
Oodles on a football show.
Yes.
The one thing that, as he was speaking and in referencing Johnny and Justin Gilbert and first-round picks in general, you have to look at it as an investment. Look at these guys as a blue-chip stock. When you invest your hard-earned money, which is our hard-earned time, in selecting these guys where we selected them, that becomes our blue-chip stock. When that stock falls slightly or even sometimes, you know, significantly, Warren Buffett didn't get rich by basically bailing on every stock that dropped, you know, or significantly dropped. It was ride the wave, ride the wave, ride the wave. And then over the course of time, you know, then you determine strategically when you drop that stock or sell that stock and cash in, or just continue to ride that wave and have them ultimately become what you think of them. And that's where a guy like Josh McCown, when it comes to the quarterback position, is such a luxury to have, a vet, teaching Johnny Manziel, showing him the way. It might not be the best way. It's not the way Aaron Rodgers and Brady and Peyton Manning and those other guys do it, but it's a professional way of approaching the quarterback position. And then when it comes to Justin Gilbert, you talk about the electricity, that switch that you see with the ball in his hand. You hope that being in a room with Joe Hayden and Tremont Williams and Dante Whitner and Tashaun Gibson and the communication that they have, that all that rubs off on this investment and it slowly just starts to build, It will fall again. It always will. But you want to catch it at that high. And as I continually mention, that once he develops that consistency, and it might not be an extremely high consistency, and I think that's where the Cleveland Browns love Barkevious Mingo. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not some high sack level, you know, sixth overall pick type of efficiency and production, but he got to the point where they know what he is. Mm-hmm. They don't ask him to do any more, and he rarely does any less. And that consistency is why Mingo played as much as he did last year with one shoulder.
And again, you know what you're going to get.
You know what you're going to get.
You know what you're going to get. One more here before we get a break. Jim is in Akron. Jim, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Good, man. How are you?
Man?
I'm hanging in there. This is going to sound a little deep, but I put this all on when Modell stole our team. He took our team, he lied to us, and the NFL didn't do us any favors. They reluctantly gave us our team back. They gave us 6 months to put a team together, and we had nothing in the expansion draft. We didn't have, you know, the same perks as Carolina
and Jacksonville. You're exactly right. But as I said, as bitter as I was yesterday, and thanks for the call, and if you listen to the first 15 minutes of the Hooli show, I was angry. And people say, you're the nicest guy in the world. How can you be angry? I was saying, I mean, just putting it in perspective. I'm a fan.
You're emotional just like the rest of us.
But you can't, I can't go back to 1998. I can't go back to 2011. There's a season to be played. It starts a week from Sunday, and the 53 guys that are going to be on this roster will at least know the majority of them starting this weekend. That's the reality. That's what we have to look into, and you have to move forward, and it's very difficult, I understand, to do that. But Mike Holmgren's not here anymore. The Lerner family no longer owns the Browns. You know, we are 12 regimes beyond that. It's now Ray Farmer's mission. It's Mike Pettine's mission. It's Alex Shiner's mission. It's everybody in that building. Jimmy Haslam's mission. And guess what? If they can't get it done, in comes the next one. But these guys, but we're in 2015 now, and I just think you have to. It's healthier, and I think it's more rational to look at it from that perspective.
You're definitely right, and I think and we're not trying to sell. I'm not. I mean, you can. I know Nathan gets the shill or polishing turd all the time via Twitter, but we're not a shill. It's just I'm not trying to sell you something. It's kind of I base. What I see at practice is what I kind of convey, and I put an optimistic twist on it because I'd rather be positive than be consistently negative and hate my life and hate doing the show talking about what people might think is a bad product, where I'd rather put a solid spin on, and spin's the wrong word, a solid outlook on what I see based around the experiences I've had as a football player in the National Football League.
You want some good news?
Yes.
You want some positivity?
I would love it.
In hour two, we're going to give you two tickets to see Luke Bryan.
We're giving away two pairs
two
of tickets.
Two pairs of tickets. I'm sorry, not two tickets. Two pairs of tickets.
Yes.
Thank you. So we're giving away two pairs of tickets to see Luke Bryan at First Energy Stadium.
This Saturday. And I will be there.
You'll be there?
Yes.
You're big country guy? You're big Luke Bryan guy?
No, not Luke Bryan guy, but I know country concerts are a heck of a lot of fun.
They are a lot of
fun. And this is going to be at a football stadium. I've never done that either. So I'm excited about it. It's going to be a busy Saturday for me. I've got to do some work at WEWS for Buckeye Preview.
Yes.
In the evening, so I'll be leaving the concert and coming back, so I'll have to have no alcoholic consumption prior to television.
Save some energy for Monday.
I will.
Yeah,
Monday is on.
Yeah,
Monday is on.
We got to do a Buckeye show together Monday. But here, in hour two, about 10, 15 minutes or so, your opportunity to go see Luke Bryan this Saturday at First Energy Stadium. We'll tell you how we're going to do that coming up. We'll hear from Johnny Manziel coming up. Hour two, right straight ahead of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, next on ESPN 850 WKNR.